traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Good afternoon, horsemen. This is Scott Miller coming to you live from International Equine Network, located at Sunshine Meadows Equestrian Village in Delray Beach, Florida. Hope to have a good show here today. Got a lot of good things going. You wouldn't believe the power that we have down here in the horse business. It goes all over the country. We got horses from our farm here that are showing in California, showing in New York, showing in Kentucky, showing in Europe. We've got race horses of the standard bred industry that are racing all over the country. We've got more foreign standard bred owners and trainers here with us this year than we've ever had before. And it's really good, you know, to see them. We've got Jimmy Oskarsson. He's here. He's from Sweden. And, you know, that's a great group of people to have. Then, of course, we have Paul Kelly, our American people here. Travis Alexander is with us here. Unfortunately, Travis got hurt pretty bad here the other day in an accident on the track. And he's laid up, but it didn't stop him. He's in a wheelchair, and he's getting out there. And I told him, I said, I better not catch him putting any horses to that wheelchair and all. But, you know, he's one of the great trainers here in America. And then we've got our Palm Beach Downs, which has got Todd Pletcher is with us over there. He's got over 100 horses with us. And, you know, we have him. And I mean, it's really exciting now this time of year. We got up at our show horses. We've got John Beebe up there at Arlington Farms. We got all kinds of people that are here that are good showers that have good riders. You know, they've been here with us a long time. We got Victoria Jackson at Laura Lane Farm. We've got a lot of good people. We've got Lindy Farms, got their standard breds here with us. So it's kind of exciting, you know, to be in that position to see these horses. And now it's the time of year when what's really funny about it is all these horses that were 2-year-olds and young horses last year all now seem to be grown up, you know, and we just don't know what to do with them. And it's exciting, you know, to see them do that, especially our kids that we have here too. Our kids are really great. We got a lot of young kids here. And what I like about having the young kids here is, you know, you look forward to seeing them grow up over the years that are coming up. You know, it's exciting to see that. You know, I had one little girl today. Said, Mr. Scott, she said, I'm jumping with my horse now. She said, no more flat work. I said, well, there's going to be flat work there for you for sure. But I said, the jumping's good. And, you know, she's 7 years old. She's 7 years old. And these kids, if they do good, they can end up getting a college scholarship to like Florida or to Miami, to LSU. They got some good with Texas A&M's got a good school. And also that's what I like about the horse business this time of year. It gets so exciting and so many things that are to look forward to. And if you go to our website, IENTV.org, you can see what we have on there. Today, for example, we've got America's Day at the Races. That starts here at 3:00. It's live racing from across the United States. We've got live racing from the fairgrounds in New Orleans. Oakland today is live now. Santa Anita Park will be coming up here live. We got Tampa Bay live. We also have a real good polo on now. Yesterday we had the Stevie Whitney Cup presented by the Duda Corporation. That was good. We've got our Triple Crown Traditions on here. It's about food of the Kentucky Derby. And I wish you to go and take a look at that. We're looking for people to send us all kinds of recipes, you know, that they have if they've got a horse show or if they're going to the sales or something like that. Just exactly how do they, cater their equine event that they go to, whether it's show horses, racing, sales, you know, just riding. That's one thing that horsemen really are getting into now the barbecues and you know, sometimes you like you get up to Devon in Pennsylvania and you get a lot of the Amish foods that they cook, that they do. And, you know, it's so exciting. And I'm going to say exciting a million times today because I'm excited about what we're doing here. You see the foods and they actually go through the recipe with you, show you how to make it, how long to cook it, how to cut it up, how to present it on a plate. That's a big part of the horse industry. And it's an everyday thing. And I know some barns that have some of the best breakfasts in the world. If you can get over there, you know, in the morning away from your duties and kind of get over to one of the barns that's doing a good breakfast. Breakfasts are really good. Lunches are so-so, you know, mostly lunches on the equine side of everything is, you know, ham sandwiches and, you know, that type of thing, something that's quick and easy to get. And then in the afternoons, that's when you really get into the good things, you know, to the chicken and ribs and hamburgers and hot dogs and beans and coleslaw and potato salad and tacos and burritos. It's really good to, you know, get into. And that's what we're trying to do here at the International Equine Network is go through and get people used to what we're doing here. And all. So that's Triple Crown Traditions. And just take a look at it. And if you got a recipe, feel free to email it to us. If you got a video, we'll even be happy to put that video on one of our shows. You know, and it's all free. It's all free. Just let us know what you do. But the one thing, the project that was my mainstay for the last year or so, and unfortunately I had some health issues and I was down and out for quite a few months, but you know, it allowed me to do what I wanted to do. Maybe it was God's way of telling me, you know, hold up, think about this, take your time. But it's called How They Get There, the 2025 Kentucky Derby. It's the journey starts here on IEN daily. Updates from the Blood Horse, Churchill Downs, you'll get every day on our website on updates on the Derby. We start out. It's the fastest 2 minutes in sports. It's a great selection to watch it. It's 12, 14 minutes long, I think. But that's really something good to watch. And it kind of gives you an idea. You don't have to be a horse person to watch it. You know, it just gives you a little bit of the information on Churchill Downs, the Kentucky Derby, and what it's like in Louisville on that day. And on How They Get There, we take a look at Mike Ripoli. It's the joy of ownership, Mike Ripoli. It tells you, you know, just a little few minute segment there tells you how he got into the business. He's a New Yorker. He'd leave school and he'd go over to the track and scrape up a few dollars to bet on horses. And he said he knew right then and there when he was real young that he wanted to be in the horse business. And so 10 years after he started going to the track, he did become a horse owner and become one of the biggest horse owners in the world. You know, it's one of the derbies done on live. And it's a good little segment there. We're going to have more each week on him because he's the featured owner that I've chosen for How They Get There, the 2025 Kentucky Derby. And we'll be expanding on it and going all over the place with him and seeing what it's like. But this first video is really good. And then in How They Get There, you got to select a trainer. You got to get a trainer, and that's hard to do nowadays. Some of these guys get so many horses, you know, that they have to go with. And it's hard to get a good owner. And you got to keep those owners happy. You got to keep winning races. You know, you got to keep the horse going in the right direction. And that's a tough thing to do. And I'll just give you a good example. Like for most people, they've got one boss that they go to, you know, that they work for. Well, when you think about a trainer, if he's got, well, like say Todd Pletcher, for example, he's at our Palm Beach Downs farm, which you're going to see the video of Palm Beach Downs next week. We do an aerial video. I'm going to show you a lot of aerial videos of our farm here the three farms that we have next week. But you got the guy like Todd Pletcher. He's got 126 horses with us over at Palm Beach Downs. And let me tell you, it's just unbelievable how, you know, what it takes to keep those horses going to the track and keeping on top of things. But more importantly, you got to take care of your owners, the people that are paying the bills. And if you got 126 horses, you could have 30 or 40 owners. You know, you could have that many owners, you know, that you go to every day, you know, because they put a lot to the horse. And most of them don't live here in South Florida or New York or, you know, California, wherever your horses may be. They're all over the country and all over the world. And so you got to sit down and you got to talk to them. You got to call them, tell them, say, hey, you know, your horse worked real good from the gate today. Had a regular exercise rider up on, you know, went 49-1, you know, second fastest of the day. And, you know, that type of thing. And you just, and you got 30 owners. You might have to go through and tell them, you know, spend 5 minutes each with them. You know, that the horse worked good. We'll see how he comes out tomorrow out of the work. And then after that, you know, we'll have to decide on what kind of a race we're going to put him in, what track we're going to send him to. And, you know, that's a lot of talking. And I mean, let me tell you, I've been down that road and I'm telling you, I talk a lot. And I'm telling you, it's a bear to have to talk to that many people. But one good thing about talking a lot, like I've told some of these trainers, if you're like me, initiate that conversation with whoever you get in to meet and talk with, jump on them right out of the gate. You start talking, then they'll say hi and bye, and that's about it. How you doing? How's the family? And then they're gone, you know, and that's the way you have to do that. And that's a dramatic way to do it. You know, you don't want to be a nuisance to them, which I have a hard time. Well, I'm good at being a nuisance. But, you know, you just don't want to overstay your welcome, your talk welcome and all. But, you know, like I said, training's got 30 people more, maybe more a day that you got to do that to. And so it makes it tough, especially when it gets around Derby time. My phone rings off the hook at Derby time. Hey, Scotty, remember me? We went to high school together. We went to grade school together. Can you get us some Derby tickets? You know, you get all kinds of calls like that. And then on the Derby trail, you get a lot of vendors. They're like a feed vendor, you know, poultice vendor. You get all kinds of vendors that come in and they want to you know, see a good product and try to get your account. And it's what I call guilty by association. As long as you've got a horse on the road to the Derby, they'll be hanging out at that barn day in and day out, you know, just to make sure people are seeing them, make sure that, you know, you use their products for your Derby horses. You know, so that happens a lot, you know, with them. But the trainer's got a tough job. He's got to keep the owners happy, you know, and that's tough. And then the other thing that's tough on a trainer, too, is finding the right jockey for the, you know, for your horse. Sometimes, you know, you might get like Johnny Velasquez might ride a horse for you you know, Irad Ortiz, you know, people like that, that you want the good, riders. But you never can tell. You might have a young and upcoming rider that might fit your horse pretty good. And then if you decide to go with a younger rider, then you got to go to the owner and explain to him, why are you putting, you know, this young rider on our horses? Why aren't we getting the big gun, you know, jockeys? It takes time. You got to explain it to him. It makes a full day for the trainer, you know, but then you start whittling down the horses that you think you might not have for the Derby. And that's a tough one, because like right now, here it is the 14th, which happy Valentine's Day to everybody. Hope everybody got a hug or a handshake today for sure. Even if you don't have a wife or girlfriend or a nice dog or, you know, go fishing or something, just hope you have a good Valentine's Day. But anyhow, you know, you're trying to get your horse to the Derby, and with it being the 14th of February here, we're limited. We're limited on our time to get into the Derby. Between now and the Derby, you have approximately two times you can run your horse to get into the Kentucky Derby. If you get points or more, it's almost a guarantee that you're going to get into the Kentucky Derby. But like I said, there's a lot of races coming up, and you got to be very aware where you go and what you do. Because a slip now, you know, can mean an undercard race on Derby Day at Churchill the first Saturday in May. Here, but you got two races possible over the next, couple of months here. Most of the races are 50 and 100 points, you know, so you got to make sure you maintain your point level to stay in that starting gate on the first Saturday in May. For example, we've got the Louisiana Preview Day coming up Saturday. That's the Risen Star. It's going to be, that's the race that they're having there in the fairgrounds in New Orleans. And it's going to be a tough race. I think we've already had one scratch out of that race, I believe. And there, that was the horse that ran in the Iroquois up at Churchill Downs. And it's Jonathan's Way is the name of the horse. He was a 4-1 favorite going into the race on Saturday. It's $500,000, mile and an eighth. And it's the perfect race to prep for the Derby because you get a mile and an eighth there, and then maybe you can sneak out of there and get into the Louisiana Derby in a few weeks, and then you're set for the, for the Derby. But they're going to have a 12-horse field. And, I mean, it's loaded with good horses in there. We've got D. Wayne Lucas has got a horse in there. Todd Pletcher's got a horse in there. Mr. Walsh has a good horse in there. I mean, there's a lot of good trainers here and good horses, solid horses that are going to be in there. But, again, you know, like I said, you got two races to run between now and the first Saturday in May. And that's going to be tough because, you know, you don't know what the weather is going to be like coming down the road. You don't know if your horse is going to, you know, get a little fever like Jonathan's Way did. They said his blood level was not at what they thought it would be or what they wanted it to be. You know, so he has some type of, maybe an infection or, you know, he's got something wrong there that he's just not what he could be. And all the trainers, they're not going to run a horse if he's not up to full power on it. So, you know, that's at the fairgrounds. That's the Risen Star. Post time on that is, it's going to be 9:30 Eastern time, 6:30 Central time. 7:30 our time. And also, that's where that'll be. You got a lot of things going. Then the other race that we have, and nobody really pays a lot of attention to this race. It's a good prep race. It's a Sunland Park Derby on the 16th. It's post time is 4:17 Mountain Time out at Sunland Park. And we have all these races on our intv.org website. They're all live on our website here. And they got a 9-horse field. And, you know, this is something that you don't see this often out at Sunland Park. Out there, we've got Bob Baffert's got, have one in there. Wesley Ward's got one in there. Wayne Lucas has got one in there. So we got a lot of the trainers that normally aren't racing out there. They're going out there. So they're trying to spread it out and get their and not really have to, you know, push your horse to the limit like you do at some of the other tracks, and get a big horse field. You know, as a matter of fact, it's kind of nice if you could get a large field this time of year for your horse to run in, because the Derby's going to be 20 horses for sure. And so, you know, it's kind of 6-1 and half a dozen of the other that you have to do when you think about it. Where do you run them? And like I said, like we've said all year long, the show horses, standard horses, all the horse industry, the weather plays a big factor in what you do and how you do it. You know, you don't want to be caught in the rain like they were last year at Hot Springs in New Orleans. They got caught in the rain so many times up there, and it was terrible. And then Derby Week, you get up there, and they were getting rain, so it looked like, you know, something that wasn't going to be new to them. You know, they're getting used to mud in their face instead of dirt. And all. So, you know, you start thinking about things like that. Now, coming up, that we have coming up, I'm telling you, it's going to be tough. We got races coming up starting this weekend from the fairgrounds, Oaklawn Park, Gulfstream Park, Tampa Bay Downs, Sunland Park, Santa Anita Park, and Turfway Park. All have derby points coming up in the next few weeks. And so they're about 2 weeks apart. Because Gulfstream, for example, we got the Fountain of Youth coming up and the Florida Derby. We got the Tampa Bay Derby coming up down here. So the horsemen here in South Florida, they've got three different, you know, tracks that they can go to, or the two different tracks they can go to, but they got three different races that they can run in, you know, to get derby points. So, you know, they got to be careful who they go to and who they run against. And it's conceivable. You could literally have all the horses in the Tampa Bay Derby ship over from Gulfstream Park, you know, and vice versa. Tampa Bay horses coming over for the Florida Derby and the Fountain of Youth. You know, they could do that. Oaklawn Park, they've got some good races down there still to come up. They got three coming up. And those are pretty much be all the same people. Very few ship-ins will come in for that. Tampa, like I said, they got the Tampa Bay Derby coming up, Sunland Park. That's their race is the Sunland Park Derby. Santa Anita, we got, you know, two or three races coming up out there. And Turfway Park, we got one, and one at Keeneland. Forgot all about Keeneland. The last hope is that you might have would be at Keeneland and to ride. And that is going to be, I mean, a last-ditch effort, you know, to get one. So conceivably now you could say, okay, I've got 50 points, we'll say. And I need to find, you know, one or two more races to run in, you know, probably two. So you could go in and you could, like, go into Hot Springs and go into, you know, run there, Arkansas Derby, or down to, you know, New Orleans or Turfway or what have you. And then just plan and hope that you don't have to do the Keeneland race. But even if you do, it's like 2 weeks before the Derby there at Keeneland. And, you know, that would be a doable thing because you're already in Kentucky. You know, so that would really, really help there. So, you know, there's all kinds of things that we're starting to think about here now in the horse industry. And same thing with the show horse industry. You know, we got coming up here, and let's see here, at the middle of April, we've got the three-day Rolex up at the horse park in Keeneland. And, man, I tell you what, they get close to 1 million people there for that week to see the three-day Rolex. You know, that's really a sight to behold there in itself. You know, if you want to go out and have a good time with the family, it's pretty much a walking deal. They've got the dressage arena, and then they got the jump, the Grand Prix arena, and then they got the cross country. And that's why they call it the 3 day Rolex, because each horse and each rider participates, one in dressage, one in show jumping, and then one in the cross country. And what I like country there at Keeneland, at Lexington, at the horse park, is you can literally take your lawn chairs out there and your cooler and sit out on the grass and sit right on the edge of the course that they run, and you know, you can see all of them coming. They got like 30 or 40 horses that come from all over the world to run in that. It's one of the premier show events in the world. And so, and they got a lot of other stuff there, you know, at the horse park that you can see. So you're not going to get bored, and you don't have to worry about sitting in a seat, you know, a reserve seat. You can just take your chairs out there and see what all's going on with them. So we got the 3 day Rolex, and then we got steeplechasing up in Maryland this spring that are coming up. which is really good to go to. Those are quite an eventful day. They're good festivals to go to, good family festivals to go to, you know, when you do that. So, and now, you know, you're thinking, well, what about the Standard Breads? Well, the Standard Breads, they're going to have the Hamiltonian, they're going to have the Little Brown Jug, and all the winter stuff starting to come up. So if you keep coming to intv.org, you'll see where it's at and what's going on, you know, at that date and time. And then another thing that I added to the website on how they get there, it's almost here. The date is approaching fast, and we're making preparations for everything for the Kentucky Derby. We have 77 days, 17 hours, 33 minutes, and 53 seconds to the Kentucky Derby. So you can call in and, you know, check that out, that timer out, and see what it's all about. And also, that's you know, what we're doing here at the International Equine Network. And we'd like to get your input. You can email us at ientv.2025@gmail.com, or you can call into the show at 728-888. You can call me here at 728-888-2963, or you can call into the show at BBS Radio. It's 323-744-4831. They're really good there. But our whole equine industry is, I don't want to say struggling. I hate to use that word, struggling. I hate to use the word difficult. I hate to use the word no hope. I hate to use the words, what are we going to do? You know, like, oh no, what's next? You know, those are the kind of things and words that I try to stay away from. But to give you a good indication of what's going on, and this has happened in California, and it's happened all over the country, and actually all over the world with the horse industry. For example, they have a decoupling law here in Florida, meaning that if you want to have a casino, you have to have horse racing. So that's the way it's been for the last, you know, for the last long time. Well, now Gulfstream Park decided they wanted to decouple from the racing industry. They wanted to strictly just do the casino. And basically, you know, I can't blame them. It's a good business move for them, because what they want to do is expand. They want to build hotels around the property there at Gulfstream. They want to bring new businesses in. You know, all kinds of things that they want to do there, which I don't blame them at all. But they don't want to keep the upkeep of the horse racing. It's quite expensive for, you know, to take care of the track and, you know, for all the horses to come in there. And it's just, there's just a lot to it. And so they decided that they wanted to decouple. And the horsemen didn't want it at first. And now they do. Then they didn't want it. Because then the horsemen at Gulfstream Park would have to go find somewhere else to race if they decouple. And that would be building a new facility, a new racetrack. And they just don't want to do that. You know, it's, you're talking about a lot of money, you know, to build a racetrack and get it all set up, permits and things like that. So over the next 8 or 9 years, that's what we're going to be going through here in South Florida. Going through with the decoupling and, you know, see what's going to happen. You know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I tell you, I really don't see the decoupling happening. And I'll tell you why. I'm probably 100% wrong on this. But that's an economic impact that it's going to have to South Florida. Is this not good? You know, you're talking about a lot of money. You're talking about the infrastructure. If you build condos and casinos and businesses, you know, you got to think about the traffic pattern. You got to think about all the supportive industries that go to, you know, the casinos and housing. For example, out here in West LA where we're at, we're out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, absolutely the middle of nowhere. from Boynton Beach Boulevard all the way down down to I'd say all the way into Fort Lauderdale. That's where I'd go. I'd go all the way to Fort Lauderdale on 441 and run the road that runs out past us. You got to have all the supportive industries like gas stations, doctor's offices, Burger King's, Kentucky Fried Chicken's, Walgreens, Walmart's, grocery stores, Publix, Winn-Dixie, that type of thing. And that's when you start to get in the building, like, everything that they're building now, and even in whatever area you're in, no matter how small or big, you got to have those supportive, areas. You got to have the fire departments, the police departments, and a lot of times you get these little walk-in medical clinics you can go to. And so over the next 9 years, if they do that decoupling, it's going to have to be, all approved. The EPA's got to approve it. There's a lot to go there. And that in itself tells me that decoupling is not going to get rid of that. It's not going to work. You're talking about millions and millions of dollars that'll be taken out of this community. But unfortunately, eventually those dollars that they're making now would be, it would be replaced by, the casinos and the restaurants and everything that would be coming, here. And that's what you got to look at. But this is happening all over the place. And it can go one of two ways. I'll give you a good example. Churchill Downs in Louisville, Kentucky. Everybody knows about the Kentucky Derby. They know what it is, where it is, and how it is. And they've had, for years, Churchill's been buying houses up within blocks and blocks and blocks of Churchill Downs, hundreds of homes, because it's literally, Churchill Downs literally is next to the University of Louisville campus. You could see the football stadium from Churchill Downs from the barn section. You can see that. So they've kind of incorporated all that as a sports venue area. And Churchill Downs went into a deal where they started remodeling and, fixing up that part of that part of Louisville that they started working on. And they're all ready to go for the houses and the restaurants and everything. But, there's still a couple of houses left that they weren't able to buy. And so that kind of threw them in a curve. They're never going to have gambling casinos in Kentucky. That's not going to happen. I don't care what anybody says. It's never going to happen. So Churchill had to devise another plan. They built and remodeled and redone Churchill Downs, and I mean, it's beautiful. It's unbelievable. If you want to watch horse racing and go in there with 100,000 people and not feel crowded or jammed up, Churchill's the place to go. They got any and everything there, from the hot dogs and hamburgers up to five-star restaurants. It's really good. They got plenty of parking. Just, it's really good for a horse spectator. But unfortunately, what they've done is they kind of put all their eggs in one basket, and they depend on the Derby and the Breeders' Cup for their mainstay income for the year. So when the Derby's over, you can go up to Churchill Downs, and if you've never been there, I would suggest that after the Derby's over, that's where you go. You go up there in the summertime because there's nobody there. And you can take tours of the backside. You can get right up close with the horses. I mean, you can do everything there. It's a sporting venue, and they have a lot of places where they can hold weddings, corporate business meetings, any type of thing that you wanted to hold there, they have that available. And they've got the Derby Museum, which is you'll spend a whole day in there just seeing that. And that really gives you a good idea of what, the Derby and what horse racing is about. It's really a good thing to go to. But so, okay, Churchill went over the top on rebuilding and remodeling, Churchill Downs. Now they've gone over over to Ellis Park, and they bought up Ellis Park. Keeneland and them got all those people got involved with it in Kentucky. So they're rebuilding and remodeling all the tracks there in Kentucky, and they're making them fan friendly. But you got to remember something, that Churchill Downs only races, not many days out of the year. And same with Keeneland, same with Ellis Park, and same with Turfway. But they got racing going on. So, guys can, trainers can stable there, and they can do what they do. And it's really pretty good. And so that's good. And they got harness racing down in southern Kentucky, which, and they've got the horse shows in Lexington and Louisville, and they got the horse racing all over the state. So, economically, it's wise for them, horsemen to go to Kentucky. But now when you start talking about, Maryland, Maryland's got hundreds of horse shows all throughout Maryland. You got harness horses. You got everything there in Maryland. And now they're going to redo Pimlico and Laurel racetracks there get it up to par, because Pimlico is a historical land site for the horse industry. And so, that's good. They're pumping money into it, slow but surely, but it's getting better that you're doing what they're doing there. Then you get over into Pennsylvania, and you got Devon, the horse shows at Devon, which are just phenomenal, draw people from all over the world. You go to, you have Parks, which is thoroughbreds. You got everything, every breed of horse there that have some type of racing or showing or sales going on, there in Pennsylvania. And their breeding program's good. So a lot of horse owners do live in Maryland, because it's a beautiful state. The taxes are pretty good there. Same over in Pennsylvania. They got a good thing going there. So now, it really comes back onto the owners. Where do I race and where do I, where do I go? And naturally, it was Florida has been the place to go, in California, because of the housing. Everybody likes to have a house down here and come down and, watch their horses run. And I mean, that's like here with us here at Sunshine Meadows. We've got, 30 or 40 owners that are here every day seeing their horses and training for either showing or standard bred racing, or with the thoroughbreds. And so that's what makes it a good place, down here in Florida, here in Tampa. Over there, same thing in California that they go. But the horse industry is kind of, like I said before, it's kind of like in a molting stage, would say. People are making decisions what to do and how to do it. A lot of the owners that we have here are unbelievable. They're unbelievable people that we have here. They're really supporting. So I really don't know what to say or what to do. With these guys, here, it's going to be tough, but we got the road to the Kentucky Derby going, and I'm all excited about that. I'm really, really, really excited about that. It's just, what are we going to do every weekend? I've got something good to do here, that we're going to do, with the, how they get there in the Kentucky Derby. We know that we're going to be running it, that's for sure. It's going to go off this year, and to see what happens. One of the things that, that another indicator of it is off to the races is the radio launch. It's 2025 season in February 15th. That's starting tomorrow. And this is really good, because I'm all about here. I'm all about it. Here at IEN, my main goal here is distribution of equine information, and that's all breeds, all everywhere. That's why I went to BBS Radio, because they go to so many countries and so multitude of radio stations all over the world, and you can't get a better app than that. And that's what I'm going to have advertisers next week that we're going to talk to, and that's because here. I talked to the guy that's going to buy a weed eater, And I talked to the guy out here that's going to buy the big John Deere, you know, $800,000 tractor for his 2,500-acre farm. You know, we've got four big John Deeres here that we use. And, you know, that's what it's all about. And that's what I like about what I'm doing here is the distribution of the equine information. And, you know, we're going to tie in a segment on John Deere and what it takes to grade a track when you're watching the races, when you're watching the Kentucky Derby. You know, you look out there and you see the John Deere tractor, maintaining the track in between races. Then you can go out to the farm and you can see, you see the guy on a little bitty John Deere mower, and you can see him weed eating with a John Deere weed eater. You know, so that's what we're trying to do here. And the more information we get about all the products that it takes to be in the horse industry, you know, the better off the industry is going to be. You know, with them. So, kind of taking a look at that. But like, for example, Colonial Downs, they're off to the races and launches the 2025 season, February 15th. And Saturday shows feature Hall of Fame trainer Steve Asmussen, trainer of Virginia Red Millionaire Gennite, entered in Saturday's Grade 3 at the Fairgrounds Stakes, as well as of a magnitude will be there too. So, you know, we're looking at all these different things that we do here. On the show there, on the radio show Saturday, Steve Asmussen trains for Virginia Red Gunite. Bruce Quaid remembering Larry Johnson. Frank Holt, the Virginia Derby planning. And Dale Wood around the Commonwealth. So, you know, we're trying to get a lot of things out here to everybody. About what we're doing and how we're doing it. And it's all about information. Because I guarantee you, if you were to go to Virginia, to Colonial Downs, just to visit it, you would have a second trip go to watch the horse racing. Guarantee it. I guarantee you, if you go down to Lexington and go to the horse park or go to the library and museum at Keeneland, I guarantee you, you will come back for racing. You go to Churchill Downs in the off season, and their museum's open, you know, year round. You go into that museum, see it, I guarantee you, you'll come back. Same thing they're doing up at Belmont Park in Elmont, New York. They're making it fan friendly. The whole track is fan friendly. When you go up there, you're not going to feel like you're closed in and in the city. They're going to have a huge infield that you can go into. They're going to have restaurants. They're going to have, you know, you name it, they're going to have it. You know, there you can walk through history there. You go to Saratoga, where the Racing Hall of Fame is. When you go to Saratoga, I guarantee it. And I know you think that I'm going to say you're going to come back for the races. No, what I'm going to say is if you go to Saratoga, you're going to come back for the week because you're going to go to the spas. The SPAC, the Saratoga Performing Arts Center. They call it SPAC. They have all kinds of concerts up there all during the race meet at Saratoga. I mean, good concerts. The Philadelphia Philharmonic. You know, they've got rock groups. They got everything there. And that's what the horse information distribution is about, to let people know that there are things other than just the horse racing in all these communities. When you go up, the camping's great. They got Lake George, which is beautiful lake, up just north of Saratoga. You know, when you get out there, they got the spas. They got the springs, the hot water springs there at Saratoga. You get down to Hot Springs, Arkansas. They have the hot springs there. They got all kinds of camping. They got all kinds of things to do there in Arkansas other than the racing. But I guarantee you, when you get in that area, you will go to the racetracks. I guarantee it. And the same thing that when you get ready to go to Churchill Downs, and every track that has a big race, and we're going to say like Hot Springs and Arkansas Derby, New Orleans, Louisiana Derby, Kentucky Derby, the Bluegrass Stakes at Keeneland, you got all kinds of different big races all across the country here in Florida, the Florida Derby, the Fountain of Youth, you know, we have everything. But we're going to talk right now, just for a little bit here, about the Kentucky Derby. And like I said, each one of the racetracks that has a featured event, as we just discussed, has something similar to this. The Kentucky Derby Festival is an annual festival held in Louisville, Kentucky, during the 2 weeks preceding the first Saturday in May. Now, see, it's just not like a weekend thing. This is all 2 weeks long. 2 weeks long. And when I was growing up, it was 3 days long. And all now it's two weeks long, preceding the first Saturday in May, the day of the Kentucky Derby. The festival, Kentucky's largest single annual event, first ran in 1935 to 1937 and restarted in 1956. So there for a while during the war, they had to rethink things. Churchill Downs was actually used as a campground for the military. The infield was back in the day, as they say. The festival's main components are Thunder Over Louisville. It's the largest annual fireworks display in North America. The Steamboat Race, featuring the Belle of Louisville and the Pegasus Parade. Those are two events that they have. They have the race on the Ohio River there between paddle wheel steamers, and they race up and down the river, one big race, and it's really a good sight to see that they have. And then they have the Pegasus Parade, which is in downtown Louisville. And I mean, tell you, they got some crazy things in there. They got bed races. Started out with a bunch of the hospitals got together to do a promotional thing for the hospital, and they bring a bed out on the street, and they got big wheels on them, and you have to have four employees of the hospital, or the pushers on the bed. They push it down the street, and then you got to have one employee that's sick and in the bed, and they push them down, and they race, you know, down a course of the street there. So that's really pretty cool to see. A lot of people like that. The Kentucky Derby Association started the first week-long festival in 1935, including a parade and a riverfront regatta and an orchestra to play a concert. The first director of the Olympic gold medal, medalist, was Arnold Jackson. In 1937, Derby Festival King and Queen were crowned, marking the start of the tradition. After the floods of 37, the festival was discontinued, and it was not until 1956 when the modern-day Kentucky Derby Festival was reborn. In 2020, the festival was canceled due to COVID, and the first such cancellation since 1938. In 1962, Tim Cactus Brooks, they used to call him Cactus Pete on a TV station there, and received the first Kentucky Derby Festival Silver Horseshoe Award, given to be a person also that made a difference in the community in Louisville there. So, you know, they've got a lot there. And that's what I like about it. Then they have the Royal Court, which everybody's got to have a queen when you got a festival, is among the oldest traditions in the Kentucky Derby Festival, dating back to the 1950s by the Phillies Inc. The Phillies Inc. is a lot of women that got together and decided to do something, you know, and call themselves the Phillies, and they do a lot of good things there, you know, in Louisville. They were officially represent the Derby parade in the Kentucky Derby. The princes are selected from a pool of more than 1,000 applicants. You get 1,000 people every year apply to get into this court. The finalists are selected at the end of the pool. It is reduced to 5 young ladies. From 1,000 to 5. Well, that's good. That's really good. And you know, a lot of people like to see that. When they're there, they check them on poise, intelligence, personality, academic excellence, in campus and community, you know, things that they do in their community. The court attends nearly 70 events during the 2-week period leading up to the Kentucky Derby. The queen is selected by a spin of the wheel at the annual Phillies Derby Ball. The festival saw this method of queen selection as the most fair way to select from their court, and the tradition continues today. Each member of the court is awarded a $2,000 scholarship and an entire wardrobe for the festival. It happened when they planned, and they had three or four judges, that come under a lot of pressure from, people that were in, daughters that were in there, Judge Bill, Judge Tom, Judge, Sam, pick my daughter. So the wheel alleviated a lot of pressure off of the judges, I think, is what happened. And it's pretty good. But see, again, the Derby Festival and all the festivals that they do, I come out here, this is a $2,000 scholarship in a wardrobe that they get. And who knows, they could go on to be, a Miss Kentucky or a Miss Indiana or, Miss California, Miss America. That takes them on a heck of a ride. But see, this is all horse related. And that's what I'm saying about International Equine Network. We want to get the information and distribution out there of that information to everybody in the world that we can. That's why we're at BBS Radio, because they go everywhere. And so now that we're doing that, we start getting all these different festivals coming in. We're going to interview people for that are in the festival this year. You'll have to stay tuned every Friday. We're going to get interviews, with all these people that are involved in all the things that we've just talked about. And then one of the things, I've only been to one of them. It's called Thunder Over Louisville. I tell you one thing. I went over there, and they got on the day of Thunder Over Louisville, they have an air show that's second to none. Every airplane, everything that flies in the military, in private sector, everything, they fly, have a flyover downtown Louisville. And they fly 747s. They fly the Huey helicopters. They fly the Warthogs over. All the fighters, you name it, they put in all the old relics. They fly over. If it was a plane, they've got it flying over Louisville that day. And I mean, it's just unbelievable. And the fireworks there, it starts as soon as it starts getting dark at night. It lasts about an hour long. It's the largest fireworks in North America. And I mean, I'm telling you, they get over a million people to the surrounding areas, Southern Indiana, Louisville. You get a lot of them there. And speaking of Thunder Over Louisville, they also got one of the great balloon race. They get 30 some odd balloons over there to the fairgrounds Derby week, and they have a huge hot air balloon race. And that's something to see. You can walk right over and walk up to the balloons and look at them and see how they're inflated and watch them take off right next to them. But during the it's called Festival. During the festival, much of the waterfront park is built as a festival. It hosts a number of events, including a chow wagon, which the food is great, rides and concerts. I saw Leonard Skinner down there twice, and they were really good. Marshall Tucker Band. And what's funny is Marshall Tucker's mother lives down in Louisville, and they block off the street that she lives on, and that's where they hold his concert. Everything's there. Each year the Derby has a poster, an official Derby poster. It's unveiled, and prints are sold to help finance the festival. And what I like about this, and the same thing that they have up at Pimlico and the Preakness, they have an art week up in Pimlico. And how it started is Pimlico is in kind of a poor neighborhood. And somebody got the great idea about having an art festival. And so now they've got over 200 artists that come there to Pimlico, part of their festival week, and display their artwork. And now they've got people from all over the world, and it's reaching up to 1,000 entries that they have, and all the money from the paintings that are sold goes to the community to help, help build up the community. And Churchill Downs has the same thing too. They have a nice parade there, Churchill does. The first event held at the Kentucky Derby was 1956, Pegasus Parade. The parade held an annual on the Thursday before Derby. NBC Today Show weatherman Willard Scott was the host of the Wave TV's broadcast coverage of the Pegasus Parade from 1982 to 2005. So, you know, that was, you know, that's good. That parade is really good. It's phenomenal when you go see it. And then various sports competitions are held, and I laugh about this, and I'll tell you why in a minute, are held in Festival Week. Volleyball Classic from 1973 to 2017. The festival hosted Derby Basketball Classic, and then they had a pro golf tournament. Well, back when they started doing this, I was just getting ready, just getting out of college, or well, I was leaving college to go to the racetrack to work. And they asked me, they said, "Hey," said, "you lived in over in Indiana." Said, we got a new Derby Festival thing that we want to do. We're going to have the Kentucky Indiana All-Star football game. And could you help us? Said, "Well, you know a lot of people." So I did. We went in and we put together, and I played in it. We came over and played the first Indiana-Kentucky All-Star football game for the Derby Festival. Oh, we got a lot of people out there. And it was a great thing, you know, that people could do that. But again, it was just something we didn't know how long it would last, you know, and it lasted quite a few years. But, you know, then they dropped it. But what was nice is it's all part of the festival. It's getting every segment of the community involved in it, you know, and all the high school kids, how they talked in Indiana and Louisville. Oh, you know, Kentucky's better than Indiana, you know, vice versa. And it worked out really good. And we got a lot of good results out of that. But, you know, it's just things like that that we're trying to do. I'll tell you, this is another good one. I've been to it quite a few times. Since 1977, they had a spelling bee held at the festival. They got Pegasus pins that you can get, and they're collector's items. Every year you collect one, but every year when you get a Derby pin, you get a chance to win prizes. And if you get a gold Derby pin, I don't know what the prize is this year, but they're like a dollar. And you get a gold Derby pin, and you can win, you know, some pretty doggone good prizes, some big prizes. And then one thing that old people like me, they got Derby cruising, and they got places marked off in town where you can bring your hot rods and your cars, and you don't even have to have a hot rod or a car, just a car, you know, that you can go down and you can cruise down through downtown Louisville and out through the, you know, the neighborhoods. But it's a two-week-long festival, which is really good. But the whole point of today's show was to talk about how they get there, the 25 Kentucky Derby. You go to the website, you can see segments that I've already done that are on there and see how they get to the Derby, see how an owner makes the decision to run in the Derby, to get a trainer, to get a jockey. See what races they're going to run. See how the horses get their shoes put on. See how they travel on the airplane and how they travel on the trucks to get to Churchill Downs. So we're going to make it a very informative program every week. And like I said, no matter what breed of horse you have, no matter how big or small your farm is, what you're doing, if you're a rider or a breeder or an owner, call us and let us know what you're doing. And if you got video and you want to be interviewed, we'll be glad to do it for free. We can do that, every day of the week. You know, just give us a call at 728-888-2963. My email is ientv.2025@gmail.com. And then Fridays, you can call in to us on 323-744-4831. And you can get a hold of me there. to do it. So thank you guys for listening. Get in touch with me. I'll take you on a equine tour that you'll never forget. And just remember, the journey starts here at the International Equine Network.